This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Listen, we're blessed to have Kyle and Ardarius back there. We've got good young corners with Marlon. You know, I think we'll see, hopefully. I mean, I would anticipate our secondary is going to play like they did over the last 8, 9, 10 games of the season next year. And that's a comforting thing. I am actually ironically looking at a safety upstairs right now in the draft. So,
you know,
no, but we'll go through it and we'll look at all the players and we'll rank the board like we always do. And if the best guy is a free safety at that pick, then we'll take him. We'll be very happy with it.
So Eric DaCosta and that end of year presser as the draft is approaching. We're a little over 2 weeks away and talking about safety. And seems all the mocks have the Ravens taking a safety with their first round pick at the moment. And secondary, they love taking corners. So with 11 picks, the back end could be a place where they double down in this draft, couldn't it?
Most definitely. And yeah, we're not sitting here talking about the draft 24 hours a day. But over the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've certainly dabbled. And the idea of them waiting on a defensive lineman and taking a defensive back early and most likely a safety over a corner is certainly a scenario that we've discussed at length. And that could be the way the board breaks, and that could be what they do. Or like we've told you, that Shamar Stewart out of Texas A&M or Harmon out of Oregon, if those D linemen are available at that pick, I think they might take that and wait on a defensive back. There were like three position groups that I circled here for this exercise. And look, maybe they don't use all 11 picks, right? Maybe they only end up using 9 or 10 because of some trades to start acquiring more draft capital for the 2026 selection process. But like, I would be stunned if they don't take multiple defensive linemen, and they might take multiple defensive tackles. I mean, they might take 2 D tackles and 2 edges.
Mm.
Like, a third of their draft picks could come on the D line. That wouldn't shock me. I don't know that they would take multiple safeties, but taking multiple corners, how could that surprise anybody at this point? I mean, that they do that in years when they only have 7 or 8 picks, depending on the way things fall. And then I could still see them taking 2 offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
You know, multiple offensive linemen. Like, if they took, you know, 2 D tackles, an edge, a linebacker, a safety, 2 corners, 2 O linemen, a tight end and a kicker. Like, if you get to 11 that way, like, that wouldn't shock me. If they drafted a running back in the late rounds, it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, we're almost simpatico. I have them taking 2 offensive linemen. I have them taking a receiver. We know that Eric DaCosta loves
swing.
Receiver. 2 D linemen, 2 edge, safety, corner. Wouldn't be surprised at an inside linebacker
nope.
to bring in
linebacker
some competition there. And then a kicker. That's my 11.
Yeah, I don't know how all these kids make their team. And look, maybe that's part of the reason they don't, it doesn't usually work out for them. But I think part of the reason they like drafting injured guys as well, we're going to stash him on IL all year. It's going to be a redshirt year.
Yep.
We get, you know, we take him now, we get him in our system, we coach him up for a year. Now, it turns out you don't often get bang for your buck that way, or sometimes it takes the kid 2-3 years for the light bulb to come on because of all that missed time, and then by then you find yourself in some weird contractual situations. if they are going to use all these picks, then I think it would make a lot of sense to lean into where this draft really provides the most quantity and quality, and that will just bring you back to the D-line. And we all got the same text from Bobby D about the
Sumer Sports
yes. draft Bible that they put out, and Bobby, DePaul is their they're an analytics company, and he's their primary evaluator of D linemen all the way from high school through the NFL. Everything from the highest end defensive lineman free agent in the NFL to, a 3-star high school recruit. Bobby's watched him. And he just keeps pounding the table that every single round there's going to be 2 or 3 defensive linemen who you're going to think about taking.
And Bobby D was saying this a year ago, mm-hmm. and yes. now he's already gotten a head start on next year's class, and he said, you better draft the defensive lineman now,
yes.
because next year's class is nowhere near as good.
He told us at the beach last year that this year's defensive line yeah. class was...
That was the day after the Ravens' first exhibition game.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And he was right. Like, now you got guys like Daniel Jeremiah saying, 12 draft eligible, or 12 guys had a draftable grade a year ago on the D-line. This year it's 24. And so...
Yeah, and I think Bobby's got even more than that. So it's hard for me to think that the Ravens prizing that historically and always sort of investing in that, and then having this plethora of picks and having the needs match up with what they already philosophically believe in, and with an abundance of opportunities to throw darts here, and they don't want to pay for it. You know what I mean? Like, they'll pay their own guy, but they're mm-hmm. not going to buy it from the outside. They'll buy Calais Campbell at the end in a trade for, what was that, a 4th-round pick or whatever.
I think it was a 5. Oh, you mean when they got him from Jacksonville.
Yes. Know what I mean? But that's how they do it. They'll pay for Justin Houston when he's not making $20 million a year anymore. He's making 7. They'll pay for Clowney, not when he's off the rotation of franchise tags and you get him there.
Coming off a down
so
year.
So that's all the more reason why, if they use 11 picks and 4 or 5 of them are defensive linemen, I'm not going to be mad at them. And they're pretty good at that. Like,
yes.
Their success rate
yes.
with these guys, especially interior defensive linemen, is really high.
What about the offensive line part of it? And this is a conversation we've been having for a couple of years now. Getting a true left tackle in this draft. Now, I'm not saying high, but at least a developmental guy, I think, has to be a priority.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the greatest offensive line draft in the world, but like, when you have 11 picks and you like to build your team from the inside out, it would stand to and your left tackle is very much year to year. And look, I still think they probably look at Rosengarten as their left tackle yeah. of the future.
They also aren't above drafting a guy like they look at as a project, like in the later rounds. That they, this guy.
Well, like, if they see somebody who they think they can turn into a Patrick McCary in the 5th round, I think they'll just do it.
Yes.
This guy could eventually provide cover at 3 different spots. Like, we don't have that guy anymore. He got priced out of our, out of where we can, where we think it's reasonable to pay him. Yeah, I mean, look, and we've talked about this, and I think a lot of other people will catch on several months down the road, because that's usually how it goes around here. But like, this Linderbaum decision is not a slam dunk.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's just not. I mean, that 5th-year option with 1 O-line designation, I don't think that's tenable for them. And if you're him, I don't know that you're dying to do a deal right now. Unless you're getting Creed Humphrey-type money. And I wouldn't give him Creed Humphrey-type money. But I don't blame him for wanting it. In which case, you usually find best of breed centers outside the 1st round. And there could be one on day 2 that they take who, now you've got next man up, and then maybe you do trade him. I'm not paying a center $20 million a year. I'm just not.
Tyler Linderbaum has the highest 5th-year option for his draft class. He has the highest, because how it works is, depending on how many Pro Bowls you mm-hmm. make, and he's made 2 Pro Bowls, so it's the true franchise tag
yes.
value of offensive line.
Which includes tackles.
And that is the highest number of his draft class. Anyone selected in the 1st round.
So if you're him, and you're seeing what Dan Foote got on the open market as a kind of a failed project tackle who's got all the physical attributes but hasn't played at a high level. Like, and you see how overpaid guys get when they get to the market, and you've got that sort of leverage in your corner. And if these guys aren't going to pay you, they'll find somebody who is, because there's teams with cap space to burn who would love to say, oh, we've got a 25-year-old best of, you know, one of the top three centers in the league, and that's going to help our young quarterback. But like for the Baltimore Ravens, when now, like, bro, they're about to have to start paying receivers too.
Yes. Yes. Because I would assume they're going to make an adjustment to Bateman's deal this year. Like, he's going to want a bigger bag, and Zay Flowers is coming.
So do you need a $20 million center?
No.
They never haven't. They've never paid centers in the past. I'd trade them.
Coming up next here on the program, it's League at Large, and as we close in on the draft, we're going to hear from Miami coach Mike McDaniel. The new Patriots coach, Mike Vrabel, and Giants coach, Brian Daboll. It's draft talk, and it's League at Large next here on The Fan.
I don't know how anybody could say how hard it would be. We've never seen a player necessarily do it. I think that there are some things that he can improve on by probably concentrating on more than just on one position, but never going to put any restrictions on Travis or any player. We try to, as much as they can handle, that we're going to continue to put more on their plate. And so if he were on our football team and he showed a great skill at one position and was starting to really do well in his conditioning and it didn't fall off and it didn't drop, we would be open to playing everybody that we had at more than one position. Anything that would help the football team, I would be all in favor of.
Mike Vrabel, he's an old school guy. I remember he caught a bunch of touchdowns for the Patriots, even though he's a linebacker.
Played on teams with Deion Branch, playing wide receiver and corner.
Yes, he did. And Edelman did a little of that too, didn't he? A little later.
Yes, he did.
So that's
played a little slot corner.
Yeah, talking about Travis Hunter. Now, I don't know if Travis Hunter's going to make it to four, which is where the Patriots pick.
But I'll tell you this, if he makes it to four, he ain't making it to five.
No. Mike Vrabel.
I would be in those betting markets.
Yes.
I am in those betting markets. This guy screams Patriot, and Belichick's gone. But this is the most Belichick thing ever. And as much as Belichick's gone, the owner still believes in it because he picked the next man up who he thought was Belichick 2.0 before anybody else was clamoring for it, and then fired him less than a year later to get Vrabel, who really kind of is Belichick 2.0. Or there'll never be another Belichick, but like he obviously was cultivated as a player by Belichick and was a big part of the Patriot way. And finding these type of athletes and maximizing people's skill sets is very Belichickian. And I think that they would look at this and say he's going to help us develop our young quarterback Drake May on one side of the ball, and on the other side of the ball, we'll take this kid and Christian Gonzalez and we'll put our two corners against your two corners, and I bet we like that for us. And in the modern NFL, that's not the worst starting place in the world. Now, I think their offensive line is still garbage, and I think their defensive line still needs a lot of help.
They need a lot.
But like, if it's me, if I just had the choice, Abdul Carter or this unicorn, I'm taking the unicorn.
Well, you want to get someone that can help your young quarterback in Drake May. And if Hunter is gone, Jason, that's where I was going to go. Do they lean into offensive line?
Yeah, then I think they take the Kid Campbell, the offensive lineman.
Do they trade down?
Yeah.
Because they need a lot.
Yeah.
If
Who's
Hunter
trading up?
Well, somebody might want a quarterback.
Well, I mean, but if the quarterback gets past 2 and 3, you really think you got to go to 4 to get him?
I'm asking you hypothetically, would they like to get more assets because they do need so much?
I think they'd like to take this kid.
Okay, but I'm saying if he's not there,
I don't. I mean,
if Hunter goes 2,
I think
Carter
no
goes
man's
3
land at 4. I who's going to lock into that trade beforehand, right? Because you'd want to wait.
Yes,
and then after. Why do I need to go to 4? Like the Patriots aren't taking him. Mm. So if I don't think somebody else is paying that price either, then I could go to 5, 6, whatever. I mean, I would think at that point, if I'm behind New Orleans and I really want this kid, my thinking is I've got to get ahead of New Orleans. And would New Orleans move up to get him? I don't think so. And I don't think the Giants are taking Shedeur Sanders. I don't, but I could be wrong. It's just, that's just my read on that owner. I think they try to wait for old Arch Manning.
Let's go to Miami and their head coach, Mike McDaniel. And he says he wants to be on the same hot seat as Nick Sirianni was.
I think Nick Sirianni was, you know, I want to be on that hot seat he was on last year. But that, what else would I expect? You're not entitled to position. And ultimately, if it's deemed that someone, the organization would be best served with someone else, like, I'm more on board with that than people realize. I think that's a natural part of it. It's why it's why I was able to not change when the same people are pointing out my failures were hyping me up through success. This is the fastest changing world in sports. Again, Nick Sirianni was on the hottest seat. But so closer to the season that we were chasing, if we won two more games, does that make me a different coach? I think it's important for me to do my job the right way, that I never look at any sort of entitlement.
So two things. Number one, it just clicked to me. He sounds like Napoleon Dynamite while he's talking there.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, yeah. And number two, what in the wide world of sports is he talking about?
He wants to be on the hot seat?
Well, he wants to be on Sirianni's hot seat.
Advocate,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
how
many guys go from the hot seat to winning the Super Bowl? This guy is the Brandon Staley of defense, and they had the same agent, so it should tell you something. And there's some from the same Fugazi Shanahan family tree. He will be fired this year. They don't have a good roster. Their left tackle just retired.
Yeah. Armstead.
They haven't done a very good job drafting. And this guy had a ton of offensive talent, but it was all skill players and didn't want to invest in the offensive line. And that those chickens had already come home to roost. Yeah, that doesn't sound like an NFL head coach to me. The bloom is off this rose. The league has adjusted. He hasn't readjusted. I don't think he can readjust. And I don't think he's ever going to be a head coach again, like his buddy Brandon Staley.
You think he'll go back to Shanahan?
Yeah. Or to some other Shanahan disciple who's somewhere else.
You want to talk about life comes at you fast. Remember the Dolphins came to Baltimore late in the 2023 season playing for the one seed, and the Ravens just throttled them?
Yeah, they peed on their leg.
And then they've never recovered since then. And if you look at McDaniel's record against winning
teams. You can't beat a team above 500.
It's putrid. It's putrid.
And then if you look at their record outside of games that they play at home when it's 85 degrees or hotter in the first 6 weeks of the season, you start filtering out for that. It's really putrid. Like that's when they hung the 60 on Denver or whatever. Like once you get to October and it's not like brutally hot down there anymore in the middle of October, they lose their home field advantage. They lose the pounding sun the way they built that thing for 1 o'clock games. The sun is just eviscerating the other team's sideline. Like once that dissipates and they have to play decent teams and then, oh my God, go on the road and play a different decent team. Forget about it.
Let's hear from another coach who's probably about to get fired. Brian Daboll. They've signed two veteran quarterbacks, Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson, and he was asked what impact that has on drafting a quarterback.
Yeah, I think as many good players as we can add, we'll take. So right now we have three guys in the quarterback room. We'll see what happens here over the next, call it month, if you will. And, whoever's in that room, we'll do the best job we can of coaching them up.
We might draft all quarterbacks because they're the best football players we have on our board.
They want as many mediocre quarterbacks as possible, it sounds like. Mediocre at best. The Giants are a wild card in this draft. They've done just enough at the quarterback position where they don't have to take one, I guess. They've passed on so many quarterbacks for so long. They've run people like Cutlets out there. They paid Daniel Jones when they didn't have to. So anything's possible with Mara running the show, and trust me, Mara's running the show, especially when it comes to quarterback. I just don't think he wants all the extra stuff that's going to come with primetime Deion Sanders' son in New York City as your quarterback. I think he just watched what happened with the Jets, and that is so the antithesis of what he believes in. And I just think that's why he's got two middling guys who aren't going to rock the boat. And I'm sure he's talking to Eli, like, we need your nephew next year.
little arch. It's arch time.
That's my theory.
And they're just going to blow everybody out.
What do you mean?
It's not going to be Dable.
Oh, you fire everybody. Yeah.
Dable.
Oh, no,
and
yeah,
Shane.
No, it'll be a different regime.
Yeah. Coming up next, time for some bounce back, fall back, Bone asks questions, we answer. It's a competition with a lot on the line, and it's next here on The Fan.
Let's look back to last week. Gunnar Henderson leads off all weekend. And remember, Chris Bubich started lefty on Sunday with reverse splits. He did. Can you bounce back, Jason? You fell back. You said Westy leads off on Sunday. Gunnar homers over the series. He did not. Get an infield hit.
He did.
Ken.
That's what I meant.
You bounce back. Jason, you fell back. You said two doubles. Dean, Slim.
He did scorch some balls just right at people.
Yeah. That wasn't the question.
110 off the bat.
Yeah, it wasn't how many times is he going
to
hit.
I got it right. I don't need to apologize.
Yeah.
I'm just adding context. Mm.
Dean, Slim, and Sugano all complete five innings. They did not. Mean Dean got let down by his defense.
Yep.
Only went 4 1/3. Sugano went 5 1/3. Cade Povich went 6. Jason, you said Sugano would go 4 1/3. Mean Dean 4 2/3. Slim barely over 5. Ken, you fell back. O's take 2 of 3 against the Royals. They did not. Ken, you bounce back. Jason, you fell back. You said the Orioles get swept.
Yeah.
Florida covers the 2.5-point spread against Auburn in the final four. They did, 79-73. Both you guys fell back. Jason, you said Gators win 75-73, but it's not a bounce back. That's not 2.5. Ken, fall back. You said Auburn wins outright.
They were up 9, then fell apart.
Duke covers the 4.5 against Houston. They did not. Houston won outright, 70-67. Ken, you fell back. You said Houston wins outright.
Yes.
Jason, you fell back. You said Duke wins 69-65. Thunder covers the 6.5 at the Rockets. Rockets won outright, 125-111.
That's the point OKC stopped caring.
Fall back. Both you guys bounce back.
They covered 11 straight leading up to that game.
Warriors cover the 1.5-point spread against the Nuggets. They did, 118-104. Can you bounce back? Jason, you fell back, and here's a long description. Warriors win by 1. Steph Curry, last second 3, right corner baseline.
Oh.
The Joker lunges at him, but doesn't get close enough to affect the shot. Russ is chewing on his own shoe on the other baseline.
Wow, that part's spot on.
By the way, we should mention that the Nuggets have fired their GM and head coach today.
They're rebooting.
Because they're falling apart.
So we have a tie. Tie at 4.
Head coach Mike Malone, Loyola guy.
Yes.
So let's get to these next couple days. Starting with tonight. I think you won last time, Jason, so we'll start with you. Charlie Morton.
Oh, boy.
Gave up 5 in his last start. Gave up 4 in his first start. We're going to be positive here. Charlie Morton allows 3 earned runs or fewer. 3 earned or fewer, Jason.
I think Charlie's got to give him some length tonight, no matter what. So I just think they got to try to get 18 outs out of Charlie. And there's been a lot of hard hits, a lot of hard contact against Charlie. So I don't think Charlie's going to be awful tonight. I hope not. But I'm thinking 6 1/3, 4 earned runs.
That is a fallback. 6 1/3. You said 4 earned?
Home run ball. I think maybe Suarez gets him. Two-run homer.
Ken?
Can I have the question again? I was talking to Ben, so I didn't hear it.
Charlie Morton, 3 earned runs or fewer tonight? 3 earned or fewer?
I'm going to stay positive, Ken. Positive GG.
Kenny Sunshine.
I'll say bounce back.
Did you know, Ken, The Orioles are the only MLB team to not have a save situation yet.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's
wacky.
Weird and wacky. The Orioles will have a save situation tonight or tomorrow.
Well, here's what we know. If they do, it will not be Felix.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know
it
what?
Probably won't be Cino Perez either.
No, I can't imagine.
You know what? I'm going to go full baseball gods and say they will have a save situation Ooh. Tonight. Bounce back. Just because
save
it can't be Felix.
Tonight.
I mean, they're overdue for one.
Yes.
Doesn't mean that they're going to. Doesn't mean that
it's the only team.
That they're going to complete the task.
No, that's not the question.
Right.
I just said an opportunity.
Yeah, you know what?
Baseball gods.
I'm going to say that they go into the ninth inning each of the next two nights.
Oh.
Without an opportunity to get a save.
No. Oh, fallback.
He goes the other way.
He had me in the
first half. The trend will continue.
That was an okie doke. He okie doked
you. In the first
you
got to
really pay attention. Yeah. Keep it on your toes.
We know that this Orioles offense has been
did
very
Cordell's
up.
Cousin say anything about bounce back fallback?
He loved bounce back fallback. He loves
now
the whole
you're
show.
Lying.
No, he, what? Dude, he loves the show.
He talked about bounce back fallback.
Yes, he mentioned segments.
Ben,
yes.
Ben, how long did you see Ken and I talk to this guy?
He talked for a while and it was consistent. He came back and left.
No, seriously. He stopped by.
Loves the show. Wayne Thomas.
We should have him do a six pack of his favorite things about Inside Access.
We could do that.
Wow.
Don't you think?
When Cordell comes back,
Cordell comes back.
But I'll arrange that. Or I'll say effort that.
Hey, Cordell might just stay down there.
I would.
Hey, yeah.
You're in paradise.
Jamaica's great.
Orioles offense has been up and down, to say the least, through 11 games. But they scored 5 yesterday. They're going to score 4 or more tonight and tomorrow. Jason.
They've got to do it both games.
Both games.
Not or, and.
Both. They've got to score at least 4 runs, 2 straight games.
Yeah, I said 4 or more. In both.
I'm going to say...
He's going fallback.
They get 4 or more in one.
That's a fallback.
But 2 or less in the other.
In one. 2 or less in the other. Ken?
There's no way they get... This is a feast or famine offense. They're gonna get shut down in one of these games. That's a fallback.
Orioles yet to pick up a series win. They will pick up a series win against Arizona, Ken. Just need one win.
Kenny Sunshine. Bounce back. They're going to win one of these.
Win one of these.
That's very, very vague, but yes.
Write it down. I'm the note taker.
Yeah.
Jason.
They just have to win one of these next two games.
Yes, and win the series. Yes.
They've already won the first game.
They got the first game in their back pocket.
And they're playing a dome, so there's no chance of a rainout or split.
No.
But we see, they won the home opener against the Red Sox, and they lost that series.
But there was a day off in between.
There was.
Yeah, they're terrible after a day off.
Yes. They are.
So look out Friday.
No day off.
What the heck, Bone?
Wow.
Is that a bounce back?
They win on
begrudgingly.
They win tomorrow.
Ooh. Win
day game
on Wednesday. Enrique Bradfield Jr. We're going to minor league baseball.
Let's go.
Here.
We know Chesapeake Bay Sox. I got to get out of the habit of calling him
Bowie.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that about?
We know that.
I like it.
Yeah. We know that he can steal a bag whenever he wants to. It's only been 3 games. He has yet to steal a base yet. He steals. Over these next 3 games, because we'll do bounce back, fall back Friday, he steals 2 bags against the Erie Seawolves.
Yeah.
Jason.
Bone, I think he steals 2 bags tonight.
Oh! 2 bags tonight. Ken?
Those Seawolves don't change. They don't stand a chance against Enrique Bradfield Jr.
They don't.
He's getting that easy.
And a couple of NBA plays tonight. And Jason, I know you're off the NBA, but you got to play the game.
I'm still
play the game. Well, regular season.
No, I mean, I'm still breaking the games down. I have a hard time getting to the window.
Yeah. Well, do you get to the window involving Pacers Wizards? Pacers are 18.5-point favorites.
Pacers have played good basketball of late.
Yeah.
Over the Wizards. Ken, Indiana covers that. 18.5.
Well, Indiana's playing good ball, and the Wizards are trying to lose. So, you know what? I'm going to say bounce back.
bounce back? Okay.
Say they win by 25, Bo.
Oh, yeah, I just don't know 25. That the Pacers have a whole lot to prove here or a whole lot to play for. The Eastern Conference is kind of tied up. That's a big number to cover, and the Wizards' kids will fight. So I'll take the 18.5. But I
fall
mean,
back.
Ugh, I can't wait. Just fast forward to the playoffs, please.
Last one. The Knicks. They cover the 2.5 point spread against the Celtics, Jason.
Where's that game?
It is in New York.
The Knicks against top five teams in the NBA are like 3-12 against the spread. It might even be a little worse than that. They do not beat good teams. I know the Celtics don't have anything to play for from a seeding standpoint, but I think they've really gotten off on pounding the Knicks this year.
Off pounding, yes.
Is Brunson back for this? I know they're saying Brunson could be back soon. I'll still take the Celtics.
Okay.
Celtics are actually they seem at least of late to play better basketball on the road than they do at home.
They don't cover well at home at all.
I'm going to – so the Knicks cover 2.5?
Knicks cover 2.5.
I'm going to fall back on that one. By the way, my Sixers have lost 12 in a row. So nice. They're locking up that bottom five seed and keeping their pick. So well done, guys. Coming up next, Orioles win 5-1 last night, and Zach Eflin was rolling through six, and then he didn't come out for the seventh, and we wondered why. Well, we found out after the game. How concerning is this? We're going to tell you next here on The Fan.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, he came out with a little bit of shoulder fatigue. So, you know, we're going to get some tests done, and we'll hopefully keeping our fingers crossed that everything's okay there, because he was absolutely cruising and so efficient and moving the ball to both sides of the plate. But yeah, we're hoping for the best tomorrow.
Just fatigue. I think it was precautionary. Evaluate it tomorrow, see how I feel after sleeping tonight.
So that was Brandon Hyde and Zach Eflin. Happy birthday, Zach Eflin. Turns 31 today. After the game last night, Zach Eflin, as Hyder said, was cruising through six innings. Only giving up four hits, one run, struck out one, no walks, only threw 73 pitches. And then Yennier Cano came out for the seventh, and I think it got everybody.
Yeah.
Took everybody by surprise. Well, now we know he's got a little bit of shoulder fatigue. So how big a concern is this, Zach Eflin and shoulder fatigue?
It's a huge concern for me. Look, it might end up being, all things considered, on the health spectrum, you know, more of a precautionary scare than anything else. But this team, as presently constructed, isn't in a position to handle a precautionary scare or even just a two-week precautionary stint on the IL, because this is the only starting pitcher that they can really rely on. He's not an ace, but he's far and away their ace. And you could pencil him in for a quality start pretty much anytime he's been healthy in an Orioles uniform. The problem is he hasn't been here that long, and he's already had multiple shoulder issues. And, I mean, there was more going on in that playoff game than I think they'll ever let us actually know. But we were all surprised about the hook there. And he had to go on the IL shortly after they acquired him from the Rays. And the Rays have gone through a ton of pitching injuries. And when they're willing to trade a guy who's got 1 year of control left, now you could tell me $18 million is a lot for them, and maybe it is, but they're the ones who signed him the contract in the first place. Like, it raises some red flags, and this sounds a little bit like some of the issues from last year, and this is the early stages of a marathon. And because they don't have a lot of proven starting pitching, and because they have the oldest rotation in the league, I don't think they can risk anything here in terms of, oh, he'll pitch through it all, maybe we just get three or four out of him the next time. I don't think that's where they can afford to be as an organization. So a lot of off days coming up, and you could get by with a four-man rotation. But it's already not the 4, 5, or 6-man rotation we envision it to be. And lost in the sauce is the fact that the Suarez thing is obviously a significant injury because they moved him to the 60-day IL.
It's a massive loss if he does miss any time. We were concerned about the starting rotation with Eflin, with Grayson. And now you take both of them out potentially. And Eflin's been awesome this year. And you look at his top two pitches, the cutter. Batters are hitting just 0.56 off the cutter this year, 1.82 off the sinker. And you would joke a lot last year, early on in the season, Jason, calling Corbin Burns number 18. Eflin's number 18, and I'm not saying that as a bad thing.
No!
The 10 quality starts in his 12 outings with the O's, that is phenomenal consistency that he has provided this rotation. And you just hope that anytime you hear that a pitcher's going to undergo test on his shoulder, you get concerned, but you hope things come out clean.
Velo down and yanked after 73 pitches. I have a hard time thinking this guy's pitching in 5 days.
No, yes. my feeling, and I'm no doctor, I feel like best case scenario is we see him in 15 days. Like, he goes on the IL, they shut him down for those 2 weeks, let him rest, and he's ready to go because it's just minor inflammation after 2 weeks. But I feel like that's the best case scenario.
And Jason, you mentioned the off days, and that definitely plays in their favor in this upcoming schedule, because you're off Thursday, you're off Monday, you're off the following Monday. So three off days in a short amount of time.
And look, Brandon Young had a rough Grapefruit League campaign, but Brandon Young's had two sterling starts for the Norfolk Tides. You know, they believe in Brandon Young. He's got some deception and can be hard to pick up. He could be a kid as a spot starter a couple times who, you know, might take some adjusting to, and that might work in his favor. He would be the next man up, I assume. You know, Contreras, who I guess cleared waivers and went down there, he's pitched in the majors. He's been a starter. I don't know how super built up he is right now, but, you know, I guess that could potentially be another option. But boy, Eflin's, I mean, if you're going to talk about two or three guys that you really couldn't afford to be without for any period of time, even if it ends up being 2 weeks plus a day, he'd be right up there.
NFL Draft is a little over 2 weeks away. It's a perfect time to talk to Jason's frenemy. It's Pete Prisco. He just put out a mock draft today. Who's he got the Ravens taking and why? We're going to ask him. Pete joins us next here on The Fan.